This is part two of the sermon that is Yeshua being filled with compassion. So let us now turn to the book of Matthew, which is Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. On hearing this, Yeshua left in a boat to be with himself in the wilderness. That's Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. But the people learned of it, and they followed him from the towns by the land. So when he came ashore, he saw a huge crowd filled with compassion for them. He healed those among them who were sick. As evening approached, the Talmudim came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go and buy food for themselves in the villages." But Yeshua replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat yourselves." "All we have with us," they said, "are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And after instructing the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he made the berukah, the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam bohorei meini mizonot. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, the King of the universe, the creator of all kinds of food. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to his Talmudim, who gave them to the crowds. And they ate as much as they wanted, and then they took up 12 baskets full of pieces left over. Those eating numbered about 5,000 men, plus men, women, and children. Blessed be the Lord. Now we begin in the second portion here of this message. Verse 14 tells us that when Yeshua came ashore, he saw a huge crowd and he was filled with compassion for them. He healed those who were sick. We see here demonstrated one of the qualities of Yeshua that each of us needs so much in our lives, because there are many times when we're called to do the work of the Lord, our hearts are not filled with compassion. We simply do it because we feel the unction of the Spirit of living God to go to a certain place and say a certain word or do a certain thing. But what does God want us to do? To be representatives of him, not just by simply doing things out of works of faith, but be filled with what his heart is filled with compassion. And I tell you this, true believers in Messiah, this has been the one thing that has standed out in their lives from the time Yeshua launched his first Talmudim, his disciples, into the world to preach the good news. They were filled with compassion. And you know what? They continually needed to be filled with compassion. Because when we study the history of believers or the history of the church, when we see where there's acts of violence and evil against the nations and against the Jewish people, why is that done? Because people are just doing it, and they're doing it not being filled with the Father's heart and being filled with compassion. So this is a lasting illustration that Yeshua desired to place in his Talmudim, because many of us forget about this. They were out and they were ministering, and now they're coming back to Yeshua, the 12. And they're exhausted. He's exhausted. What's happened recently? His own cousin had been put to death, beheaded, Yohanan the Mikvist. And so Yeshua is tired, and that's why he launches in the boat with his Talmudim, and they just want to get away. They need a time of refreshment. But what's happening? There are needs to be met here. And Yeshua is battling with his humanity. Many of us forget about that. Yeshua was born of a virgin whose name was Miriam, and he still had all the different attributes as any other human being has. As long with that, the attributes of God. Now, some of us may think, well, you know what? I have tough battles with my old nature, all right? And I got to be very, very careful now as I walk on this tightrope. Because some will say, oh, now you're assuming that Yeshua has a carnal nature. That is not true. He was without sin. His father was whom? Abba, Father God, all right? His blood, did it come from his mom? No. It's amazing. When they want to identify who the Father is, what do? They draw the blood, right? And what do they find out? The blood matches perfectly of that child to its true father. Now, there may be mothers and fathers that have the same blood type, but I'm talking about the specifics here. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but this is what I've been instructed. It's true. And so what Yeshua had here, he faced every temptation as a human being, identifying with us, but he did not have our carnal nature. And even his blood was pure. The blood that you and I have, who have just recently participated in the symbol of the grape juice, his blood is pure. It is holy. It is undefiled. So let us continue. Remember why Yeshua had traveled to this only place. It was to get away from the crowds. And yet now we find many people are now around him again. How now he must have felt. Can't they just give me a moment's peace? I'm exhausted. All right? Just as when we battle with our carnal nature and the Spirit says, go and speak to that person and share your faith. What happens? The Holy Spirit always calls upon us when we're not in that right state of mind, right? And have you ever been in the process of being so tempted by sin that all of a sudden it's almost a point where you're ready to step over that threshold and actually act out that sin? That many times the Spirit of the living God will give you that divine assignment to go and proclaim the good news? Wait a second. Don't say things like that. That is the truth. I'm living testimony to know this, that when the enemy came against me, tempting me to the place where I was about to step across that threshold and commit a sin against God, and I was praying to be delivered from that temptation, what did the Lord send to me? An assignment to go and proclaim the good news. But wait a second. I'm battling my carnal nature. That's right, Frank. And that's when the Lord gave me that provision so that I would what? Put my old carnal nature to death and arise a new life in Messiah. Amen? Yes. And if we're really, really honest and truthful, we will say, yes, I do face temptation in my life. Yes, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what Yeshua is trying to teach his disciples right now, because he's asking them to do the impossible. I know this, to know whether or not it's God in my life. When he says for me to do the impossible, and I say to him, you've got to be kidding. I cannot do it. Great Frank, you're finally admitting the truth. There's nothing you can do in and of yourself that can accomplish what I desire for you to do to build the kingdom. Now, you may be saying, well, that's a very, very humbling statement, but it is the truth. Because just as Tim shared earlier, who wants to receive all the glory and honor and praise? It's not the servants of God, but it is to God be all glory and honor and praise. Let's continue. He was tired, and he had been dealing with people and their problems for a long time already. And the Talmudim had just returned from their assignment, and he sent them on, and they needed some attention. They wanted to testify on what God had done in their lives. And they were looking for some time of respite. You know what's amazing? Years ago, they used to call those times of getting away retreats. And then one day, they said, hey, let's call these advances, right? We're advancing, Lord, all right? So let's continue. You get into the boat and you sail away now, trying to get away from the crowds. Yet when you reach your destination, some are already there and more are coming. And your carnal nature is saying this, can I finally get a break? I'm saying this to you. Yeshua faced the same things. Yohanan records in John 6:2 that many of these people had not come to learn from Yeshua and follow his teachings, but instead because they were seeing the miracles Yeshua was doing on those who were sick. They were just there to come and see the show, to be entertained. How many believers in Messiah attend a fellowship or join a fellowship simply to be entertained? How many believers are following men and women of God simply to be entertained? Many. Many. Maybe Yeshua was a little bit angry. Do you think that he was justified in telling the people, please just go away? Just come back another time? Probably true, but that is not what Yeshua did. Instead, the scripture records that Yeshua was filled with compassion. I believe that Yeshua was in the state of mind at this point. Some of you may say, oh, you're walking that tightrope again. Where he recognized his natural tendencies. But he went in the presence of the Father. You know what's amazing about Yeshua? He was constantly in and out of his prayer closet. He could be in the presence of the Father even in the midst of great crowds or even just a few. I believe that he instantaneously said, Father, fill me with what's on your hearts. What was on the Father's heart? To reach the crowds. Let's continue. The word literally means to be moved in one's guts, his innermost being, his kiskas. Kishkas, thank you. Strong emotions do affect us physically. God is not some impersonal force out there that is indifferent to the things that we go through. Yeshua is God. He told his Talmudim that they have seen him, then they have seen Abba, Father, God. Literally. Not figuratively, literally. And Yeshua is not cold or calculating or remote from the suffering of all mankind. And just as it was shared earlier today, God saw men and women as co-equals in the kingdom. And we'll get into that a little bit later today. Yeshua is deeply moved over the physical suffering, the confusion, and the spiritual wayward state of his people then and now, both the Jews and the people of the nations. Yeshua felt physical pain, emotional pain of rejection, the full measure of human temptation. Did you hear that? Every temptation that you and I will ever face and beyond. Because HaSatan, if he could slip him up in one instance, he would have gained the victory. And Yeshua, as being the Mashiach, the Messiah of the world, would have been nullified. Oh my goodness, don't say that. That's the truth. Let's continue. Messianic Jews, Hebrews 4:15 records, For we do not have a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, unable to empathize with our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being that he did not sin. So what does that tell us? That we have the opportunity, if we walk in his provision, to not sin. Not in and of ourselves, but then to cry out to him, oh God, I need deliverance. I need a divine appointment. I need something to get me out of this. At least I embrace sin and sin against you. This is why he is sympathetic, Kohen Gadol, high priest. Yeshua knows what we're feeling here, and we find that he's very emotionally moved, and he extends his compassion even to those who were shallow, and they were self-centered, thrill-seekers. To those he knew would reject him only a little bit later. Have you ever been in the presence of people and you're sharing the good news, you're sharing your testimony, and you see like a glaze go over their eyes because they're not receiving? And you just feel like, I need to step away because I don't want to cast my pearls before the swine. But I've been rebuked by the Spirit of the living God to say this, sow the seed. Sow the seed in that man and woman's heart so that later the fruits of salvation will come and bring forth a harvest. Yeshua extended mercy to many, then he continues to do so now, even today. God's grace, God's mercy. Regardless of what state or situation you find yourself in today, Yeshua is able and willing to extend mercy to you if you will simply receive it. And what are we to proclaim to people? God's grace and mercy are new every day. And they said, well, give me evidence of that's true. Watch my life and see that it is so. And when you see that I face temptations and trials, why do you think you work in the place where you work? So that you would receive trials and temptations so you'd be a shining light to those who are lost. Let's continue. You can bring your troubles to him and you will find sympathy. Compassion, forgiveness, and love so strong that it will not let you stay in the sin. You hear that word? It will not allow you to remain in that sin, which is bringing turmoil in your life. He's not just our deliverer one time for a simple prayer of accepting him as our Messiah, but continually. Yeshua had mercy for many that gathered there. That mercy resulted in his ministry to the crowds. Again, in verse 14, it says that he felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. But in Mark 6 and Luke 9, it tells us that Yeshua also spent time in teaching them many things about the kingdom of Abba, Father God. See what Matiyahu is doing here? He's just giving us a spotlight. You know what? Of the miracles of Yeshua, this is one of few that's repeated in all four listings of the good news. And each one gives us a little bit more detail. It is not enough to feel compassion for someone. That compassion must result in some kind of action if it's to do any good. You want to get someone else's opinion? Here's another rabbi's opinion. This is stated very clearly in Yaakov, James. Who was James? Yeshua's younger brother. James 2, 15 and 16. It says this, suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, and someone says to him, Shalom, keep warm, eat hearty, without giving him what he needs. What good does it do? Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is what? Is dead. Yeah, but look at me. I got great faith. But without actions, without actually doing something. See, because many times by faith, what do? We just do lip service. So songs that we're singing, twice it talked about angels coming, applying coals to our lips. Many times we give lip service to God, to Yeshua, the Ruach, our brothers and sisters in Messiah, and those in our workplace and our neighbors. Continuing, we do need to be moved by the suffering of others and reach out to them, even when it's inconvenient for us. Ever been there? Have you ever seen someone standing with a sign? You come off this off-ramp, and there they are. And on that sign says, disabled vet, or it says something about a tragedy that happened in the family. Please help me out. And how often we as believers, including Frank, have said, well, that's just a scam, all right? And maybe it is a scam. But how much better it would have been for Frank in those inconvenient times to pull the vehicle off to the side. Then his wife says, what are you doing? I'm now going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Reach my pocket, take out whatever I have, walk up to that person and say this, because what Yeshua has done for me, and Abba God Father has shown his love, I give this to you to be used for his glory and honor. Can I pray with you? How much more of a testimony? And let's say if that guy is a scam artist, am I not sowing, or her, is sowing seeds of redemption? Just as Yeshua, he knew these people's hearts. He knew how many in the crowd would simply enjoy the lunch and then go on their merry way. And how many of them would be there mocking him when he was about to lay down his life. If not for the grace of God, you and I would be part of that crowd, and we once were, if we're to be truthful. Let's continue. I can skip that whole portion there. Bless the Lord. Yohanan 6:8 gives us more detail in saying that the food came from a boy that Andrew had found, that's Yohanan 6:8, with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Barley loaves were not large, and the 2 fish were more likely small tilapia, known as St. Kepha or Peter's fish, which is the size of lake perch for those who are fishermen here in Minnesota. Those who are listening on the podcast, Google what a perch is. All that was available was this, a boy's small lunch. And Yeshua was going to feed a lot of hungry people with it. Okay, today, what if 5,000 men showed up and tried to fill the summer room, along with their wives and their children? Okay? And then they asked, because we were here, and the Lord was doing great, mighty miracles through all his Talmudim. All right? And then it came time, we got very, very late. We were still here. And they became hungry. What would be available to us? Our communion that we just celebrated with. All right? God asks us to do the impossible. Okay? So continuing. Yohanan 5-7. They reveal that earlier in the day, Yeshua had pointed out to Philip the size of the crowd and the problem of feeding them. Now, Philip and Andrew as well had probably been working on what the problem was for a while. Because when Yeshua told the Talmudim to feed the crowds, Philip had already calculated. Do we have any accountants in the room? How much it would have cost to feed them. And Philip answered, a half year's wages wouldn't buy enough food for them each, and each only the people would only get one bite. A denarii worth of bread, a day's wages over the course of 200 days of labor, or 2/3 of a year. That is why they were surprised when he asked them to give them something to eat. This was impossible, was it not? That's what God asks us to do, that which is impossible. See, we can have fun here. But this is a major lesson that Yeshua was teaching his Talmudim. Remember, Yeshua and his Talmudim had been sent out to spend time alone, and Yeshua was going to give them further instruction. What better time for instruction than when Yeshua is prompted by the circumstances that are at hand? We as parents, we have taught our children by using circumstance to teach what? An object lesson for them to understand. But you know what we must do every time? We must deal with their carnal nature. Why? Because they're watching us. And I'll tell you this. As a young parent many years ago, because now I'm a grandfather, 2 grandchildren, but it was with fear and trepidation, knowing this, that the very words that I spoke to my son and daughter pertain to faith, having trust in God to fulfill the needs that you have in your life, they were watching both I and my wife's life and our example. And I tell you this, there were tough times where we had to say, God, we need you for you to move. And he did. And they saw his faithfulness in that. Bless the Lord. And some of you may be saying, well, that's a great story, these things that you're sharing. But Yeshua did not see the Brit Hadashah written yet. So what inspired him? All right. The miracle of increasing, of that which was at hand. So just think, here is Yeshua, and you know what? This is amazing. When I think about this process, here is a man who's a human being, who does not have a carnal nature. There's that tightrope I got to walk again. He was faced every temptation that we faced in life and beyond. And yet, who inspired him? The prophets inspired him. So let us turn quickly now to Beit Malachim, that is 2 Kings. Elisha, Eliyahu, verse 1. 2 Kings 4, 7. Now the wife of the one of the gilded prophets complained to Elisha. "Your servant, my husband, died," she said, "and you know that he fears Adonai. Now a creditor has come to take my two children, boys as his slaves." Eliyahu asked her, "What should I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What has the Lord provided for you?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house but a flask of oil." Then he said, "Go and borrow the containers from all your neighbors, empty containers, and don't borrow just a few. Then go in and shut the door with you and your sons inside, and pour oil into it, into all those containers. And as they are filled, put them aside." So she left him, and she shut the door on herself and her sons, and they brought her the containers while she poured. When the containers were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another container." But he answered, "There isn't any another container." Then the oil stopped flowing. Notice, that's when it stopped. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt. Then you and your sons can live on what is left." That's the story that inspired Yeshua to take those five loaves and those two fish. How about manna during 40 years? All right? That's what built up the faith in Yeshua. And as I said earlier, here is Yeshua, who's both God and man, knowing this, that everything that was created, every miracle that's ever been recorded in the scripture, Yeshua's fingerprints are on it. And it's in him and through him, everything was made and reveals the power of God. That's why when Yeshua went on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moshe, as I mentioned last week, and Eliyahu was there, there wasn't a moment there where Yeshua had to walk up to them and say, "Hey guys, I'd like to introduce myself to you." No, they knew him. Why? Because he revealed himself to them in a very personal way. Wait a second, Rabbi, you're blowing my theology here. Good. Because what does the word say? Yeshua was sent to his people to reveal the Father. Just in the Brit Hadashah? No. In the whole word of God, the Tanakh and the prophets, Yeshua has revealed. Salvation is written. His name is mentioned. Continuing here. Now let us quickly go to the book of Malachim Aleph, which is chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. That's where I was. Excuse me. This would be 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. This is the word of Adonai that came to him. "Get up and go to Zarephath, a village in Zidon, and live there. I have ordered a widow there to provide for you." So that he sent out and went to Zarephath. And on reaching the gate of the city, he saw a widow there gathering sticks. And he called out to her, "Please bring me a little water in a container for me to drink." As she was going to get it, he called after her. I reread that. I apologize. Okay, thank you. "Please bring a little water in the container for me to drink it." And as she was going to get it, he called after her, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." She answered, "As Adonai, your God, lives." Listen to that. She's testifying that this is a true prophet of God, and as he lives, okay? He's an example to her. "I have nothing baked only a handful of meal in a pot and a little oil in a jug. Here I am gathering a couple sticks of wood so that I can go and cook it for myself and my son. And after we've eaten that, we will die. Now, some of us may be saying, well, that's not a proclamation of faith, but it's stating the truth. We should be able to tell men and women of God the truth as it is. All right? Eliyahu said to her, "Don't be afraid and go. Do what you said, but first use a little of it to make me a small loaf of bread and bring it out to me. And after that, make food for yourself and your son." So this is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. The pot of meal will not get used up, nor will there fail to be oil in the jug until Adonai sends rain down upon the land. And she went and acted according to what Eliyahu had said. And she and he and her household had food to eat for a long time. The pot of meal did not get used up, nor did there fail to be oil in the jug, in fulfillment of the word of Adonai, spoken through Eliyahu. So these are the scriptures that Yeshua was basing his faith on, knowing that he had done that for both Elisha and Eliyahu in the Tanakh. And it's by that faith that I believe this, that when Yeshua took those five loaves and he said the bruka over it and the fish that was there, the two fish, and he proclaimed a blessing over that. And then he turned to his Talmudim and said, "Now go and pass these out." All right? As it was being passed out, what does the scripture record? It did not diminish. But you know what's amazing? It doesn't say in the scripture that Yeshua ran up to the baskets or ran up to the food there and started laying his hands on there to pray over it and pray over it and pray over it and pray over it. It was once blessed by the Lord. And who was he thanking? Abba, Father God, for his provision. And that's what God wants us to do today. It's to walk in his provision. Because you know what? What God has called for the seed of Abraham to do is impossible. In human effort. But if we walk in the provision that God has given us, we will be faithful to build his kingdom. And that's going to take the faith and trust of everyone who calls the seed of Abraham, their home congregation, and those who come and support us from time to time. We are building God's kingdom, and for him to receive all praise and glory and honor. And you know what? If you read closely that scripture, it does not say that all of a sudden it went down to a couple fish and then one piece of bread, and then all of a sudden it expanded. You know what's happening? These 12 disciples are out there, and they're passing this out. What are they saying? They're seeing these two Tanakh scripture references being fulfilled in their eyes, and it's building faith. Because they know that there was only five loaves of barley bread, and there were only two fish. And what happens at the very end? They gather up the remains. And what is there? There are 12 baskets. Exclamation point. Amen. Who's with us but the promised Messiah? It's undeniable before them. And that's what God is saying to us today. I'm asking you to do the impossible because in and of yourselves you cannot do it. It shall fail. But if you will walk in the provision I've given you, and the provision is not just money and stuff. The greatest provision is this, the Talmudim, who are filled with God's faith and trust. Because I tell you this, that trust and faith is what builds the kingdom. It is passed as a baton from one generation to the next. And the same Yeshua that they were walking with for only 3 years to 3.5 years is with us today. and he dwells within you. So I say to you, seed of Abraham, and every other man, woman, and child who is part of the universal seed of Abraham, to walk by faith and trust, knowing that God desires for you to build his kingdom. Because sometimes we think, well, we're just a small group. What can we do? We can do nothing. But if we're filled with God's Spirit and walking his provision, walking in unity of the faith of brothers and sisters in Messiah, lifting up one another and lifting up Yeshua so that he can draw all people unto himself, then we're building his kingdom. That's the path that we're on right now. And Yeshua's words are speaking to us even today. And he's inspiring our hearts to do the same. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen.